Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And I am working on getting Mr. Chris Sitter on at the moment, but we're having a little technical difficulty. The ministry has a laptop that is worn out, needs a new one, guys. Anybody want to come to the table and share that with blessing with the Lord and provide that, that'll be most welcomed. I've had to restart the computer, and it's taken a long time to get it back up and be able to get Mr. Chris Sitter on the line. You know, it's kind of a shame that the work of Christ, the treasure chest, the war chest of the Lord's work is so empty. It's just unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. I just have never seen anything that befuddled my mind so much as so many people who say they love the Lord and God gets little or none of their finances that he brings 100% of to their possession temporarily, and of which we're going to all give account. You know, that's today's topic today, actually, is forgetting the Lord or remembering him, because the converse of forgetting the Lord is remembering the Lord our God. And Scripture says in Deuteronomy 8:18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth upon the earth. You shall not forget him, but remember the Lord your God. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. Now, our text, main text, was in the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, but verse 18 of the eighth chapter, in the same general passage, if you will, where God's speaking to his children here in Deuteronomy, he says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. All our wealth, all our blessing comes from God, and we must remember him in it. And that's why he set up the system whereby the people were to give the first 10% of their income, that their increase that he brought to him, because then their hearts would follow the giving and the worship of that giving. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not where your heart is, your treasure will be, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Now, I think we're going to have Mr. Chris Sitter on. Chris, are you there, brother?
I think so.
Oh, wow, there he is. Hey, brother, good morning.
Well, good morning to you, too.
How are you?
I am praising the Lord for a beautiful day and a great topic and the opportunity to get in the Word a little bit with my friend Todd.
Amen. Could you hear the intro, how we were talking there?
I did. I heard that. I was you're talking about Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8 and how we need to remember the Lord and not forget the Lord. And those were a great start.
Amen, brother. Brother James and you had queued this all up. And Deuteronomy 6, 12 and 13 or 13 and 14, it's kind of the primary foundational cornerstone verse passage here where he says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, other gods of the people which are round about you. And then we are told in Deuteronomy 6 that we are not to forget the Lord and we are to fear him. However, when a person or a whole nation forgets the Lord and no longer fears their Creator, and they begin to go after other gods, divine judgment is a guarantee. Many in our day want to see the greatness of America restored, but are looking to a political party for this great nation, so-called. But we're not to be deceived, Brother James writes. The only way to come out of the judgment that's sure to come is through repentance, denying ourselves, picking up our cross and truly following the Lord Jesus according to his word and his ways. Amen, Brother Chris?
Amen. And when you said we should fear the Lord, our Creator, that is some of the couple topics that the Lord really put on my heart today was that we've been, our adversary is is not stupid. He knows the kind of curses, and his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy from us. And he knows the kind of curses that come on people that forget God. And he knows that there's a couple things that are huge in causing us to easily remember the Lord God, our God. And one of them is creation, God's glorious creation, and how it shows forth his praise and his eternal power and Godhead, and it's just glorifying him all over this planet, and the heavens tell the glory of God. And then we have ears to hear and eyes to see. We're going to be remembering him through his creation, which is going to be just bursting forth, causing thanksgiving and praise to him. And so our adversary tries to say, let's just cut that short and go right to Genesis 1 and let's attack that with great fervency for 100 years or so until people don't believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And so that's one of the ways, evolution, that he's fought so hard to get us not to remember the Lord. And another one that's really on my heart today is the weather. God controls the weather. And for people to understand those principles that he's put in his word, we can understand that God brings the south wind and the icy blast, and that he commands who thundereth like him, and he commands the lightning bolts where they should go, and he causes the morning to the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice, the sunrise and the sunset, and he commands his sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and just verse after verse after verse. Behold, God is the one who gives frost, and he's the one who commands the whirlwinds and where they're going to go. And there's just so many verses that I was looking through a flashcard set called The Weatherman, and starts out with the verse in Amos 9:6. It is he that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. And so you'd think it would be first grade stuff, but God has to tell his people sometimes the basics are a big deal, we would get it that he made this place, and he controls the weather on this place. And if we understand these principles, we will not be forgetting the Lord God. Simple things like bringing a cool breeze or making the warm sun to shine on our face, it will remind us all day long of who he is and how he's actively working on the earth through the weather that he's bringing,
Beautiful.
So our adversary knows that, so he attacked it with both creation and Mother Nature. God didn't do it. Mother Nature is doing this.
You mentioned the greatest fairy tale ever given to mankind, evolution, huh? He wars through evolution, huh?
He does.
That's what a lot of scientists call it. Yeah, yeah. The greatest fairy tale. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, and actually, that's the devil does not want incredibly powerful two principles that God created this magnificent place, which is showing forth his nature, his creation, not Mother Nature, but his nature, and
yes,
his eternal power and his Godhead,
yeah,
his glory, all the time, for people with have ears to hear and eyes to see. And also, it's interesting, we're talking about the fear of the Lord, and I was going through some of these verses today and realized that when we A, get that God created this place, and B, that he's in charge of the weather, that there's a couple things that also in the weather that are probably more than that, that cause us to fear him. Like, as the lightning comes from the east, shines from the east and the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we see the lightning, if we have spiritually enlightened, heart, we should think of you know, the coming of the Son of Man, the judgment day. You know, are we ready to meet the Lord? There goes the lightning.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And behold, he cometh with clouds. You know, boom, we see the clouds. We think about, not only do we think about the beautiful verse in Job that says, dost thou know the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds? That's it. The wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge. He knows how to float those clouds at different altitudes so perfectly and turn them about, as he will, like just a beautiful principles that he was showing us, that he's in charge of those weather maps that we see when they zoom out of the United States and they show the whole flows of, you know, thousands of miles of turnings that God was showing us, that he's been doing that for ever since he made this place. But anyway, I'll pause for a second. I've been going kind of
beautiful.
Go ahead, Todd.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I kind of was fiddling with the phone real quick there. That's beautiful. You know, Chris, I've never heard a message quite like that as you've brought forth. That I'm going to have to go back and listen to this one about how God's creation is so integrally, he chose to so integrally involve it in all of the aspects of our lives and in his return, et cetera. As I was going through Deuteronomy 6, afresh this morning, I was just blessed to see so many things, and several or all of which you've mentioned, if not thoroughly, in Seed Thought. Of course, we know the 18 verses that make up the 8th chapter. I want to call the attention of the audience to chapter 8 and chapter 6 of Deuteronomy to read them through. Begin by praying to the author of the Bible, the one who I hope is in your heart and life, if you will, because you've been born again. If not, you can be today. Hallelujah. And that's where life begins. Amen. Life in Christ, eternal life is born in you when you're regenerated upon repentance and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. But the 8th chapter, Brother Chris, is about remembering him and not forgetting him when he brings them into the land of plenty. And this is such a huge topic about the jeopardy of soul that is created by earthly wealth. I mean, some of the most miserable people on the earth are the ones that have so much. Marvel at the pictures I see that my friend and our brother in Christ, Bill, takes in Africa, in India, especially Africa, a place that Bill would move tomorrow if he could. He'd take his whole family because of the people. The people are so very precious. And you can see it in these children's eyes. They've got little or nothing. In fact, Bill will show me a picture and he says, in this village, there's one toy. The toy is 5 years old, and there's 48 children. That's all they have for toys, but it's the happiest children you've ever seen in your life. Isn't that amazing how miserable our children are? That is, the children of America who are being raised by, I'm sorry, godless parents who think they're godly, but will not teach their children the Word of God, spoil them, put electronic devices and TVs and computers and iPhones in their face to keep them occupied selfishly so that they don't have to deal with them. And yet they've handed their children over to Satan himself. They've offered him on the altar of their own convenience, the altar of Moloch, where children were sacrificed all over the Old Testament and God condemns. The same thing's happening today in principle when we don't teach our children the Word of God, which is what Deuteronomy 6 is talking about. Wow, what a roundabout way there. Got off course, I guess, maybe not. Deuteronomy 6, part of it is talking about raising your children in the Word of God, as you know, Brother Chris. Verse 1 and 2, ladies and gentlemen, of Deuteronomy 6 is speaking of the Word of God and fearing Him. They go together. You cannot and will not fear the Lord unless you're in the Word of God. The Word of God cannot get in you and me if we're not getting in the Word of God daily. I had a good fellowship, discipleship session with a brother I'm close with for several years. We hadn't met in a little while, and you know, I gave him verses to memorize, and told him that, you know, don't leave home until you've read at least 4 chapters in the Bible. Now, that's a good rule of thumb, guys. Some might say 6, 8, or 10. I've had older preachers tell me, son, if you're not reading at least 20 to 30 chapters of the Bible a day, you are not worth your salt. You have no business preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in principle, I take that to heart. These were real men of God, not these little spineless pansies that are more like CEOs running their little church business, marketing their and farming their community to build a church empire, their little kingdom on the earth in lieu of Christ's kingdom. You know, this kind of statement, Brother Chris, comes from men that actually walked with God. They had time in prayer every morning, diligent in the Word of God daily, the study to show themselves approved unto Him. Amen. The Word of God and the fear of the Lord cannot be separated. Now, these are the commandments, verse 1, the statutes and the judgments, the written Word, that is, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might, why? Why did He give us His Word? That you might learn, do them, obey them in the land where the servant you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. There it is. He gave us His Word so we would fear Him, to keep all His statutes. You must fear the Lord, which is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death, Proverbs 14:27, to obey God. And, you know, this brings in how the modern church never speaks of the absolute essential of not only repenting to be saved, but remaining in an abiding, trusting, worshipful, loving relationship, obedient relationship with Christ, or you will be excluded from the eternal kingdom of God. Such absence of this cardinal and prevalent New Testament teaching does not, it does something, and it robs the fear of God out of people's life. All they hear is how wonderful God's grace was, instead of a balance between fearing God, being in the Word, praying so that you won't enter into temptation, being ready for the Lord's return. Why all the warnings in Scripture, namely the New Testament, to be ready, namely Christ's teachings, to be ready if there weren't any danger of not being ready? That would be ludicrous. In fact, let me throw into this mix, as we were kind of tracking real quickly through Deuteronomy 6, because unfortunately these programs are pretty short, Brother Chris, but this scripture here, this little passage here, needs to be in our hearts and minds. This is one of the most severe warnings in all of Scripture, and I know you could probably guess what it is, being resourceful in the Word as you are, Brother Chris. Luke 21:34-36, and take heed to yourselves, Jesus said. Notice the personal responsibility. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, that means a trap, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye, therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, I was thinking this morning, Brother Chris, how we hear so many people say, oh, you mean if I am right with God and then I sin and then Jesus comes, you mean I'm not going to go be with Him? Now, instead of spending a lot of time answering that question, which is an obvious answer if you go by Scripture, let's take a step back. Why would someone even introduce such a thought? Why would someone even ask such a question? Well, let me take a stab at it. It's because they're serving themselves, and they want Jesus and His eternal divine agenda to revolve around them, because that's the God they really serve. And it's all about them creating a false God in their own image, their own corrupted image, that serves them, basically, and gives them a license to, you know, meditate on things that are godless. God looks on the heart, folks. One of the soul-damning sins in the Bible is evil concupiscence. You know what that means? Secret desire for that which is forbidden. You know, like fantasies, we call them fantasies. That is lust and evil concupiscence, and it must be put to death. It must be crucified. This necessitates obeying God in the daily cross. And yes, it is a moment by moment. You better repent. Stay in the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil. And deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. They go hand in hand. You're in a fight. Keep your dukes up. Keep swinging. Oh, I know the flesh. Brother Chris knows the flesh. Every one of us knows the flesh. It wars against us every day. It must be put to death. You must stay in the fight and never succumb to the idea that it's okay to live in sin. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. There's conditions there. You must confess your sin, and you must what? Forsake it. And that happens when you truly repent. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Brother Chris, what is the biblical key or keys to overcoming the sins of the flesh which displease God and will exclude us? Any person that's been saved and yet has dropped into sin, has forgotten the Lord. What are the keys biblically, brother, for overcoming and living a place of not only overcoming sin, but flourishing and remembering the Lord your God and being fruitful in momentum?
Yeah, so if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, too. So if we fill ourselves with, not only do we have to resist and stay full of the Word of God, and, you know, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, recognize that we're in a war, first of all, so we show up for the war. But stay filled with the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We just have to truly, honestly be in the Spirit. And to be in the Spirit, we have to be in line with the amount of heart and soul that he wants us to give him, which is right there in that same Deuteronomy 6 you were talking about. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and with all thy might. We do that, it gets easier.
Yeah, that's verse 5. There's so many things here in this chapter. It's a minefield of golden blessings and nuggets. In the first verses, as we read, the Word of God and fearing him. Verse 3, his desire is to increase us, and I would say that's mostly spiritual. Ephesians 1, we're blessed in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, I have to delineate that because so many false prophets have equated natural or earthly gain to godliness, which is a ridiculous misnomer and is leading millions to hell. Amen. The blessings of God are very, very few times are they financial. Yes, he's going to take care of us, but we have to look at those as spiritual blessings, as we read in Ephesians 1. Also, verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6, loving him, as Chris quoted, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is the key, guys, is learning to say, Lord, today I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means I'm not going to be first. You are in my life, in my spirit, my soul, my body, is given by you to worship you. So, Lord, I just lift my hand and I give you praise. Lord, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And bless me to love you more in the holy fear of God, and that Jesus would be my first love. Amen. He told the Ephesian church they did some things right, but he said, you backslidden, you must repent and restore Christ as first love of your life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. We have to have Christ as the first love of our life. And this takes a deliberate obedience and make the fear of God come on each one of us right now, the holy fear of God in our bosom to convict us, to do whatever it takes to get up in the morning, to seek God's face, to set our hearts to seek him, and to diligently study his word. There are no shortcuts. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6 talks about the heart of man and how important it is. Proverbs 4:23. Keep or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And in order to keep or guard your heart, you must till the soil of that heart. You must get the word in that heart. You must keep the word in that heart by studying to show yourself approved daily unto the Lord for his glory, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And to teach thy children diligently, verse 7, and to surround ourselves and immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Amen. Brother Chris?
Amen. And you're touching on verses that are both sides of what I call the double motivator. And one is the fear of the judgments of God and of hellfire, which push us into the right direction. And another one is the draw of the precious promises, which pull us. So there's both a God has given us both a repelling force that's supposed to keep us away from the sidetracks of going to the left or the right, which are the fear of all of these judgments, that there's a lot of them we could get in trouble with. And then there's some of these bunches of precious promises which draw us close again to get up in his, right in the center of his perfect will. And a lot of times when people think of the fear of God, they think, well, they're just this big mean God that, you know, just hates me basically almost. And we have to understand that these commandments that he gives us, God is love. It's because he loves us. And I think of this verse in just before what we're talking about in Deuteronomy 5:29. Which was on my heart, and I didn't remember where it was, but interestingly, it's right before this passage. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And I'm going to read that again. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God wants us, this loving God gives us these commands, not so he can whap us upside of the head, but so that we can be in the center and fellowship with him. Like he even said, Todd was reading the Proverbs, he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Because it's going to be great for you, because out of your heart that's kept with all diligence shall flow the issues of life. And then once you've gotten a taste of that goodness of God that flows when you're abiding in the vine, as you got to abide in the vine, you got to keep his commandments to abide in my love. You know, you don't want to leave it. It's so good. It's where you're fellowshipping with him. It's your answered prayer. It's fellowship with true fellowship with the saints. It's true fellowship with your Father and a heart that's honestly filled with peace and love and joy and all these things that you can have. But they're centered in this place of loving him with all your heart. And
amen.
I love that part of the, you know, it's not just, it's not just that God's just saying, this mean, big mean God says, fear me, fear me, fear me. It's a loving God that's drawing us into his fellowship with his Son. And he's trying everything he can, both precious promises to pull us in there and terrifying judgments of all different kinds to scare us in there.
Amen.
His scary judgment of his goodness to pull us into that place of blessing.
Amen. You know, I love that. And that, by the way, folks, again, Chris read it twice. That's Deuteronomy 5:29. I want to encourage you to become resourceful in the Word of God as you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We're closing down here. We've got a couple of minutes at the most here. You know, and somebody might ask right now, Chris, how is it that I love the Lord? Well, here's the start. You quoted Proverbs 4:23, which says, keep or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, the preceding verses, beginning in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. There it is, practically, Proverbs 4, ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 4, and take it literally. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. You can have the absolute victory if you'll get in the Word of God. God has brought us out of something to bring us into something. As we read in the last two or three verses there of Deuteronomy 6, it covers a lot of ground in this chapter. Surround and immerse yourself in the Word of God, verse 8 and 9. Verse 10 and 11, the danger of being full and forgetting him, verse 10 and 11, that is, also fearing him, verse 13. Verse 14, keep the idols out of your life, beloved. Put an axe to the root of every idol, shepherd, everybody, or everything you love. And let Christ reign. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. Ezekiel 14:3, the scripture tells us, The prophet told God's people to get rid of the idols in their hearts, Ezekiel 14:3. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us your holy fear and cause us to scamper under thy feet and to sit and lay at thy feet to worship you with all of our hearts, soul, minds, and strength, and always to remember you and to flourish in you in victory, the victory that Christ alone, our soon coming King, can bring forward. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.